Well, you already kind of heard me hinting at it in prayer. Today's kind of a treat. You get to hear from another member of our staff. In this case, Megan Rush. You've been on staff with us now for what, 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
Four years. Yeah. Okay. And she works with our youth, with our children, kind of making certain that we have quality ministry for all those age groups. And today she gets to kind of move into a different type of ministry. And
out of comfort zone.
Out of comfort zone. You know, managed to shake the whole fear of public speaking thing all at once. Like, that's great. And you'll get a chance to hear some of what's been on her heart and some of the ways that she has been deepening in her faith. And so just encourage you to have your ears open to what God has to share through Megan.
Great. Thanks. Thank you, Andrew. Right. Good morning. So this isn't my comfort zone. I am normally in the back. Is that too loud, Don? Is that too loud? No. Normally on a Sunday morning, I'm helping with volunteers, or I'm in nursery or back in the children's church teaching. And this isn't normally where I'm at. But what I've found more and more in my life, that one-on-one conversations in coffee house is where my ministry has evolved. One-on-one having conversations like the one I'd like to have with you today. So if you would sit and join me for coffee. Crystal mentioned first service that not everybody had coffee, so if you need to get some, I won't be offended. Now, I've had a little too much, so I'm going to apologize ahead of time. So normally I would sit down with you and I would ask you, how was your week? How are you doing? And maybe go a little bit deeper than that and ask, who are you? And not your name, but who are you in here? What's your core identity? And we could start with me. I came from a Catholic family of 7 people, 2 parents, 5 kids. I was number 4. And I know we have some people in the audience that like birth order. You can start analyzing me now. And as a child, I learned pretty quickly that to get attention, you had to work pretty hard. So I found myself, even as a young child, working pretty hard to earn good grades and to get honors. I worked pretty hard at becoming popular and having lots of friends, and I worked hard in sports and got trophies. But all of that, at a core level, what I was actually really longing for was to feel love and value and identity. And I was trying to get those from things in the world or people. And as I grew up and I moved into teenagehood and I moved into adult, that work ethic served me well in a lot of places. I really wanted to own my own business, and I did, and I worked hard to do that. And I really have been studying martial arts since I was 18, and I always wanted a black belt, and I did that. But that work ethic actually also worked itself into my marriage. And in many places in our lives, we find that these childhood identities actually end up going smack dab into your personal, close relationships. And I found myself working super hard in my marriage to be perfect. That if I had dinner on the table at 5:30 and the laundry was done and the dishes were done, then everybody and the kids were taken care of, then everyone's going to be fine. Look at me. I'm a super wife. Who would ever want to leave me? Who would ever not love me? And the harder I worked, the more I felt like I was spinning my wheels, and the further and further apart we grew, and I didn't get any more content the harder I worked. And it came to a point with both of us, we looked at each other and asked, do we even want to work at this anymore? Do we even want to go any further? Would the kids be better off? And at that moment, I was struck with an identity crisis. It hit me smack in the heart, in the head. Who was I? Because if I wasn't a wife and my value wasn't coming from a man, from this man, my value, my love, my security, who was I? And where would I get that from? And I found myself on my knees, on my face, begging and praying that God would remind me who I am. Because I've been a Christian most of my life, and I surrendered my heart as an adult, and I've read the Bible, and I've done the Bible studies, and I've taught Sunday school for over 10 years, and I know, I teach those kids every Sunday, and I believe it with everything in my being that God needs to be your first priority, that Jesus loves you more than anything in this world. And yet when I look back, I realize that my priorities actually weren't there. I had put my husband in the idol position. I had put him first. that my value came from him and my self-esteem and my security. And when I was faced to look at if that was gone, who would I be? That's where I learned who I was. God met me in that moment. He showed me who I was through his word, through prayer. He reminded me daily, and it's something I'm reminded every single day, that my identity in Christ is something to be received, and it can never be earned. When our identity, our true identity, is received from Jesus, it's free and clear. The work has been done. We don't have to do any more. He already loves us enough, more than we could ever imagine. There's nothing more we can do. And all that work, all it was counterproductive. It was actually tearing us apart instead of bringing us together. And when God met me in that moment, my life was changed forever. And I pray I stay changed forever. I know I will, because every day I'm reminded of who I am in Christ, and that on the overflow of my heart, I have peace and security in who I am. So I'm wondering today, who are you? What's your thing? Because don't we all have identity issues? Whether that's, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm just a mother, I just clean up after the kids all day long, I go to work, I'm an employer, I'm an employee. We all have identities. Some of those identities are lies. Lies we've believed as a child, as an adult. False identities. If you have kids, let me ask you, where are your identities tied to and who are you? When your kids are doing good and the report cards are coming home and they're all A's and they're getting first place and this and that, and you're thinking, I must have done something right. And then the day comes when grades aren't so great and your child doesn't fit the mold, and the call comes from the school that Johnny hit Billy in the face and we need to talk. Who are you then? When your self-worth and your net worth are tied together, and when business is good, you're good and money's in the bank and everything's great. But who are you when business isn't so good and you don't know when your mortgage or your rent is coming from this month? Where are you? When you think that if the promotion comes through, the job comes through, or if I just keep making more money, and the more I work and the harder it happens, and my wife will be happier, my kids will be happier, and we can go on a great vacation, and it'll all be worth all the work, but it's never enough, right? You still come home anxious and busy and angry and sometimes bitter and resentful. Where's your identity at? Who are you? Our only true identity comes in Jesus Christ. And when we read through the Bible, we see that everywhere. That this book is our story. This book, God reminds us where our identity comes from. When we look at our identity in the Bible and we see what God calls us, he calls us like the song we saw before, or he calls us forgiven. Amen to that. Child of God, new, redeemed, bought back with a price. It cost God everything. It cost us nothing. Sanctified, set apart, forgiven. I love new. If you would turn in your Bibles with me to Romans, we've been going through the book of Romans these last couple weeks, and I hope that you will stay with us through the series. It makes me laugh how God's timing is, because this is not something I felt like I would ever do. But God took me on a journey I really, truly feel like I needed to share with you today, just to remind you of who you are. And Romans is my favorite book of the Bible, because throughout the book of Romans, Paul's speaking to the Jews and the Gentiles, and he's proclaiming the gospel with such love and grace, and so eloquently. And if anybody knew what identity issues were, it was Paul, right? Paul was walking down a road to destruction, and Jesus stopped him. And he spent the rest of his life being secure in who he was in Christ. When we start in, if you would skip ahead to chapter 8, We're going to start in verse 31. It's on your screen, or if you need a Bible, we have Bibles out here. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Because God saw that we were separated from him. He is perfect and we are not. And he sent his only son to die for us. He kept nothing from us. He wanted everything to be close to us. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is that who condemns? I stop on condemns because how many of you have felt condemned? Amen. Sometimes people, those lies we believed are the false identities. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. This identity in Christ is eternal. It can never be taken away. It can never be stripped away, where all the other identities in our lives can. And we need an eternal identity. And we have one in Jesus. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution? I believe most of us have felt trouble or hardship. Or famine? I know I haven't gone that many nights in my life without food or where food was coming from, but I do know what empty feels like. And I'm sure many of us do. Empty in our self-esteem or empty in our bank accounts. Or nakedness, I'm not going to stop there, or danger, or sword. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And in line 38, I'm going to ask you, would you say with me the line that's underlined? For I am convinced. And let's say that one more time. For I am convinced. Paul was convinced. I am convinced. Why? Because our lives have been changed by this identity in Christ. Paul died knowing he had an eternal identity in Christ. That neither death nor life, nor neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, near height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. God left nothing for you to be separated from him. This identity is received free and clear. It cost God everything and it cost us nothing. We just need to receive it. And we can't earn it. We can't work harder for it. You already have it. You just have to be reminded of who you are today. I am convinced. I'm convinced because I lived this life for a long time, and quite honestly, I didn't even know it. I didn't know I didn't have my priorities right. I felt the anxiousness and the anger and the bitterness when my identity was tied to my idol, to my husband. My husband makes a great husband. He makes a lousy God. And I'm glad because I have one. One that can never be stripped away or taken away from me. And I'm wondering, are you convinced? What would your identity be if it was not tied to something or someone and you knew who you were in Christ? What if you really heard this message today? How would your life be changed? If it wasn't tied to the bank, if it wasn't tied to the kids, if it wasn't even tied to your marriage, that your identity was in Christ and you were reminded today of that. Because we're reminded all the time about a lot of things. We're reminded what time it is by our watch. We're reminded by our cell phones and our computers. And the most important thing we could be reminded about is this, of who we are in Christ. A couple weeks ago in Children's Church, we did a little message very similar in reminding the kids what Jesus did for us and who they were in Christ. And we tied a little string to our fingers. to be reminded. And it's kind of silly. I've been wearing mine for a couple weeks, so probably time to change it. But this is a physical reminder of who I am. Every time I look down at my fingers, I'm reminded of who I am. And I need to be reminded often because it's a slippery slope. I could walk out of here today. I'm strong in Christ. I know who I am. I'm new. I'm redeemed. I'm justified. And then I get the call, or I get the text that reminds me of who I used to be, or someone trying to tell me something they think I am. And all the explanations in our life, all the identities we've given ourselves, they do not define us. They might explain us, but they don't define us. Only God can define us, and not this world. And I wonder what it would happen if we really digested this, if we really heard this today as a body of believers, that we were secure in Christ, and we reached out through the outpour of our hearts to people around us. Can you imagine a world where this church, this community, this world reaches out to the broken and the needy and the hurt? When we reach out secure in Christ to a couple who's struggling in their marriage and they don't think it can go on any further, it changes. When we give them the beacon of hope in Christ and we share with them where their identity is, a couple can make it. I'm proof. We just have to reach out and allow them to see where their security and validation comes from, and that's in Jesus. When we reach out to the child or the teen or the adult who's hopeless and rejected and doesn't see purpose in their life and doesn't know if they even want to go on anymore, we've seen it in our valley and we need to reach out. Because when we're insecure in Christ, we can be that beacon of hope to those who need Christ. You have the tie. If you would be so kind as to put that on your finger, or even better, if there's someone around you, if you could help them, because it's a little awkward getting it on by yourself. And if it's by yourself, that's okay. But either way, I'm wondering if you would say with me together, say this to the person that you're helping: "For I am convinced nothing can separate you from the love of Christ." Does everybody have their tie on? Awesome. Thank you. So as we enter into a time of prayer, I just thank you for this opportunity. I thank you that your hearts are open to this. And my prayer today is that you will hear this message, because it changed my life. And I wish somehow I could force on you how I feel inside today, how secure, how validated, how everything that I am today is different. And that even when I have struggles and I still have problems, but they're filtered through the love of Christ first and not through this world, and that changes everything. Would you pray with me today? Father, we just thank you for this opportunity. And Father, I lift up my friends to you today, that they would be reminded in who they are in you, that this identity is eternal and it's free, and there's nothing they can ever do to achieve it, Lord. I ask that you open up their hearts, and I pray that they would be reminded in your love, in your mercy, in your grace today. In your Son's name I pray. Amen.